Ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals, this is Anna, and with me is Jared.
What's up?
We will be your hosts for this episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be at a featured table review, looking at Robot Quest Arena, designed by Robert Dougherty, CJ Moynihan, and Paul Waite. Artwork is not credited for this game, and the game is published by Perfect Day Games and Wise Wizard Games.
Robot Quest Arena is a bot battling game.
Doing okay there?
I'm doing great.
Oh no.
Using deck building, grid movement, and fight to the death destruction mechanics as each player controls one bot in an everyone for themselves rumble match. Players will navigate obstacles, exploit power-ups, manage how to balance powering up their bot's movement versus buying shiny new weapons, and making tactical decisions about what and who to hit. You don't have to have the most kills at the end of the game, but you do need to have caused the most destruction. Will this game become the potential we all wanted 90s robot battles to grow into? Or will it fade into the back channels of cable? Find out as we discuss.
My goodness, that was terrifying.
My throat is not happy with me.
Yeah, well, wonder why.
Anna, did you ever get to watch the gloriousness of, it might be the best thing, at least top 10 things that cable has ever provided to us?
Are you about to say Transformers?
No, man!
What?
Did you ever get to watch the show BattleBots?
No.
Oh, Anna, it was so good.
Transformers were robots too, kind of.
Yeah, okay, fine. Transformers is great. Don't get me wrong. I like Transformers. But this is like legit. People built their own BattleBots in real life and then brought them to this 4x4 arena where they battled it out. It was so cool.
That does sound really cool. I did play that punching robot board game where you had to have you took your
little about the classic
plastic dudes out and you hit the button and one of them punched the other one's head off. I did that.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
I had an exciting
childhood.
Time. Did you?
It was there.
That's incredible. What a pivot.
That's totally what I was thinking of when you said 90s robot battles. I was like, oh yeah, he's talking about that game where you had the robots and you punched each other's heads off.
I feel like I had versions of that. I don't know that I ever...
play that?
No, I played it. Like, it was different. Like, there was different themes.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get to play like the classic one until I was like in high school or something. But I always had some kind of bot battler, like punch, 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 punch. Oh, look, I got it right.
Yeah. All right.
But no, love Transformers. I mean, I've been playing with Transformers since I was on the preschool grounds. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Nice flex.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man. No, but we'll have to show you BattleBot sometime. And I found out. I was blown away by this, and I must do some more research because I didn't find this.
Jared is so excited, guys.
Until like 10 minutes before we recorded this.
Oh, my goodness.
BattleBots is still on.
Oh, no.
Obviously, it's not on cable because cable died like a chump.
You know, really good people die sometimes, not just chumps. That's kind of mean.
I'm not saying that everyone that dies is a chump, but
well,
you can die like a chump.
I don't know.
Just like you can laugh like a goose. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Not everybody that laughs sounds like a goose.
Did you watch a snippet of what BattleBots looks like now is the question.
No, I couldn't distract myself. It would take another hour before we started recording if I did that.
Wow.
So we'll have to explore
Jared's
together sometime.
Snippets are very long. That's what we have learned in this conversation.
I don't know that snippets exist in my life. Just deep dives.
Oh, okay.
That's just how it works.
Okay, Jared.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah. So is the opening question about this thing I've never seen before? Or is there another one?
Well, let me dive into my bag of tricks here. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
All right, Anna, I will ask you this. Do you have... No, I already know the answer. I don't know the answer at least, so that was a stupid thought.
A favorite robot movie? Yes, iRobot.
All right. Tell me about your favorite robot movie.
iRobot was my favorite robot movie.
Why is iRobot
closely
your favorite robot movie?
Followed... I think it... So, in some robot movies, they just felt not realistic enough.
That's
like,
what I was going to say,
I'm sorry,
yes.
The Matrix? I don't know.
Oof.
Like, yeah, I'm sorry, whoever actually thinks that that's real life, but it didn't...
That exists.
I know. I know.
That's
why
a thing.
I'm apologizing to those people. So, yeah. So, there were some aspects where the robots would take over the world, or they would get angry at having to work so hard, or... things like that. And I don't know. They just didn't ever feel as realistic to me. Or they would realize, oh, humanity's actually really selfish. Why are we serving them? They should serve us, blah, blah, blah. So iRobot, I felt like they came up with a very good premise of how a robot could be acting according to its coding, but still in a way that was destructive or not the way it was intended to. And I think that's kind of how computer programming works even. Sometimes you program something, you think, oh, yeah, it's going to work this way. And it does not, because it doesn't always work exactly the way that you think it's going to work. So anyway, I thought it was really well. It also had a good amount of intrigue and suspense and action and that kind of thing. My second favorite robot movie that I thought of right after I just spit out iRobot that actually might be my first. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, my. What a disaster.
I know. It was Bicentennial Man.
Very interesting.
That was such a good movie.
It was really good.
It was.
Actually,
and completely different
it,
track, obviously, than
yeah,
iRobot.
I remember it blowing me away. Like
yeah.
Going in thinking, there's no way this is going to be a great movie. And then walked out being like, holy smokes.
It makes you like question
everything.
Your relationships and what makes you human and
yep.
Your life. It was really, really good.
It
yeah.
was really good. I actually had the same thought every time I've watched iRobot, though, is just the respect for, this is going to happen one day. Like
This is
really not that far off.
It's true.
And now we have AI, and we're teaching it, and we're just asking for our own death.
Oh, no. Well, what's your favorite robot movie? Or is it Robot Battle?
No, it's neither one of those.
Oh, okay.
It's a good question. I'm going to go in a different direction.
All right.
On my favorite movies, I think I'm going to go completely animated, and it's a list. The original Transformers movie.
Okay.
Loved it. WALL-E.
Aww.
Blew me away.
Yep. That was so fun.
And another one that also, robot movies catch me by surprise. I think I go in like expecting to just be entertained and not get much out of it. And then it hits me with like this deep message. Big Hero 6 was really good.
Ooh, that was deep. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it was not what I was expecting.
Was
and
Big
it,
Hero 6 a robot? Did
yeah.
she build him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. She did. I don't know. For some reason, I was like, he was like some other creature. But you're right. He was totally a robot.
I'm going to also give a, like, I want to give a honorable mention. I don't know if you know this, and if you have not seen this movie, we're going to watch it
all
because
right.
You love Hugh Jackman, and I love Hugh Jackman.
I do. We both love Hugh Jackman. Right. It's really what binds our marriage together.
I don't know that that's true.
Oh, okay.
But he has a Dark Horse movie that happened back in 2011 that I don't think gets nearly enough love, which is called Real Steel. Did you ever see this movie?
I do not think that I have seen a movie called Real Steel with Hugh
All right,
Jackman.
So if you like boxing or robots or a dad and his kid bonding, so pretty much every soul on the planet that I've just in those three, then you will like this movie. So the whole premise is like it's a battle bot movie, but instead of just programming them, you like control them.
Okay, yeah.
But what ends up happening in like the first 15 minutes is he loses the bot that he controlled, but ends up finding in the garbage this training bot that's not at all like built to fight. It's built to take punches.
Huh, okay.
And so he can't control it, though. He has to teach it how to box. And then they go into all these competitions and, you know, whatever. But it, solid movie. Again, completely blown away by a robot movie I expected nothing from.
Cool. There you go.
There we go.
All right. We have run the gamut.
I mean, there's a lot of good robot movies.
I think WALL-E is better than Big Hero 6.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think it depends on what mood I'm in.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think they both have their place.
Yeah, there's a place.
All right. Let's talk about how to play this game.
Okay.
In Robot Quest Arena, you are piloting an adorable, ferocious robot in an arena that is going to be a full-fledged battle for fame and glory. Each player is going to be given a set of 10 cards, 8 batteries, 1 hammer, and 1 jump jets. These also function as the 3 basic types of cards: batteries, weapons, and function cards. We'll go over those in just a minute. On your turn, you draw 5 cards. You get to play those cards however you want to. These will be used to do a variety of different things. Your different weapons and attack cards, pretty straightforward. You want to make sure that you hit other robots in a robot battle arena. You do this on a board next to the card shop. You will start on a spawn point, and then you will have a 7x7 grid that you can move around. All the other bots are obviously on the same board, along with obstacles, power-ups, and things of that nature. When you attack another robot, whatever damage you deal to it, you take the health cubes off of that robot and put them in your victory point pile. That means every single time that you attack, you are gaining points. Your function cards allow you to do a variety of different things. They're kind of like your wild card in a way. They let you draw cards, or maybe they'll give you a special movement, or do something else. Like maybe they just give you cubes, or they let you do some kind of fancy thing. So that's another way that you can use your cards to navigate around the board. And then your batteries. Your batteries act as both your movement to let you move around the board, because some weapons require that you have a certain range. Some require you to be right next to another bot. And they also let you buy cards from the supply. You can mix and match however you want to, and you don't have to use all of it, but whatever you don't use at the end of your turn does go away. When a robot gets knocked out, it is taken out of the arena until the beginning of that robot's next turn. That robot gets to respawn in, get a new set of health, and then they start back up. When they are respawning and getting their health, one of their health cubes is blue instead of the normal red health cubes that most of their health tracker is. There are only so many blue cubes in a game and act as the timer for when the game is over. If you are able to be the one to knock out a robot, there is also a slight incentive, because if you gain the blue cube, it's worth 2 points instead of 1. Players will take turns buying cards, attacking robots, moving around the board, activating power-ups on the board, and duking it out, trying to be the one to have the most points at the end of the game. The power-ups are simple. They're pretty cool. You can have a variety of different things that you can do. It might be trashing cards to get your deck thinner, might be gaining more energy, things of that nature. The other cool thing that you can do with this blank board, all of the pieces, so respawn, obstacles, things like that, those are all tiles, so they can be shuffled and moved around as you see fit and can be built in a way that you like. So the game is always fresh, always able to be how everyone wants it to be. If a robot needs to respawn, but there are no more blue health cubes, the game ends. Players count their victory points, and whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins the game. There's some other nuanced things that we could go over, but I think that gives you a pretty basic overview. So with that, let's head back over to the table and discuss. All right, Anna.
Yes, Jared.
Favorite mechanics of this game. What you got?
Oh, my absolute favorite mechanic of this game is that it is the balance of deck building and murder, basically.
That's great.
That's my favorite part. So usually in a deck builder, you've got the balance of when do I switch from the little cards up to the big cards as in building my machine, and I got to build my machine faster than other people, because if I don't get... Because once everybody else has built their machine, then you're rotating through this and that. you can't play this game like a regular deck builder because you have the option to start attacking other players from turn one.
That's right.
When you've just got your basic, everybody was dealt the same card, starter hand, no machine to speak of. And so the balance of, I want to build my machine like I'm building a deck builder, but the only way to get victory points is to go and attack people. I frankly really like that. I thought that it provided a really cool twist on your standard deck builder, get your momentum before you do anything aspect that I usually see in deck building games. So hands down, favorite mechanic right there. How about you?
The fact that each damage point turns into a victory point for you is an incredible mechanic. It means every move of attack has value.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, there is a beautiful art in learning how and when to stay in the shadows and collect what you need for your deck and when to be out there smashing and hitting and going to town.
Right.
Because some of those power-ups are great. And if two people get into this fight and you hang out and you're like, I don't need to be part of that, and you just focus on getting your deck right, you might be a little bit behind to start, but you have a real chance in the back half of that game to just swing damage because you've built your deck and you've trimmed it out and you've made it how you want it to be. And they, even though they got out to the jump faster, they might be slowing down towards the end.
Again, though, that's a balance.
Absolutely.
Because we have definitely played at least two games that I can remember off the top of my head where there was a person that hung back, stayed in the shadows, sat on, there's like four different squares on the board that give you some sort of a benefit if you start your turn on them.
Yep.
And so we had people that were hanging out next to those and getting, you know, an extra point or an extra something each time. And at least two of the games that I remember, those people had a great machine. And so they were hitting very, very hard the last two or three rounds, but they didn't get the balance right.
That's right.
Because it was still too late. They still ended up losing. If the game had gone another four or five rounds, they would have been great. But that wasn't how the game worked, because you got to balance your deck building with your murder. That's just the gist of it.
And that's the other thing that's really cool is the clock is based on the number of robot deaths in the game.
Yeah.
And so you have a little bit of control over that. If you know that you're behind, you don't want to be killing people right away. You want to be knocking everybody's health down to get those points, making sure that you're not putting yourself in a position to where you're going to get taken out and lose the game. So there's a lot of navigating to do. And I like the delicate balance that comes with that.
I will clarify, though, because usually in games where there's a take out a player type of component, there's a penalty for the player that gets taken out.
Right.
And there is not a penalty in this game if you get taken out. There's a penalty in that you come off the board and then you respawn and somebody gets your blue cube, which counts as two victory points as opposed to the other health cubes that you have apart from your very last one, your blue cube, count as one victory point. So there's a little bit of that, but there's not a running total of like, oh, you got killed three times and I only got killed one time, therefore I'm beating you type of thing. Because it's just solely based on the number of cubes that you have killed, that you've accumulated. So it's based on the number of attacks that you've dealt. And so that was an interesting component because you're over here like, oh, I don't want to get killed. But then you realize, well, actually, it's okay if I get killed sometimes. It's not actually going to be like a point against me if that happens.
Yeah, this game is not wanting you to be defensive most of the game. It wants you to get out there and swing and have fun with it. And I think that's really cool. And I do think the respawn aspect is really well done, because you're right. Nobody's ever out of it for that long. And there's times where I'm like, I want you to kill me because I'm going to respawn over here and it's going to be much more beneficial for me than to camp right here where I don't want to be anymore.
Right. The respawn is also strategic, though, because it doesn't happen until that next player's turn.
That's right.
And so it does keep somebody from kind of running the board. You can't just get a bunch of people down and then take everybody out and just accumulate a very excessive amount of points in one round. So, I remember in one game that we played where A couple people were low and were taken out. And I was actually really close to winning at that point in time. And I was wanting to end the game and I couldn't.
You looked around, there's nobody on the board.
Nobody, because I had to wait for everybody to respawn. I was like, what the heck? So anyway, yeah. So there's a balance there too that I think is very well done in the game.
I love those aspects. Those mechanics are really well done. I also love the little powers that are in this game. It's not a lot. I love being the big brick cube that requires extra movement to move me. And so players will come over and be like, all right, I'm going to move you. I'm like, how much movement do you have? They're like, two. And I was like, well, you need three, bucko. And then they get all deflated and I stand there. And then next turn, I just pile drive them into the wall and it's great.
Yes. And to build on that, I think the walls and the ability to push people into walls and damage them, or the ability to push people off the edge of the board or into the edge of the board,
you just,
I guess,
push them,
sorry,
into the wall. Yeah,
into
there's
the
no
wall
off the board
that surrounds the board is a pretty cool mechanic. If you position yourself where you're too close to a wall, you're risking getting more damage from somebody that could come over and ram you into the wall.
Sure.
And it also lets you to look for, I think there was one time that we played where there were kind of like two people that were close to a wall, and so somebody was able to get in between them and then go one direction, slam one person, run, go the other direction, slam the other person, all in the same turn. Again, you're mixing in a little bit of your movement strategy with having walls there instead of just having it be an empty grid as well, which is cool.
And I'll transition from that to say that it feels so much like a BattleBot game.
Yeah.
And which is awesome. Like I said at the intro, I loved that show growing up. And I really feel like I'm driving this robot around, attacking other robots. I have my different weapons that are hidden away that come out when they need to through my cards. And it just, the theme is really captured. I am a big fan of the proponent of, you have energy. You can decide for that to be currency or movement. It's up to you. I just think that's, especially in something like a deck builder, where you'll get to the point where you're like, oh, I have all this currency and I don't need to buy anything.
Right.
So now you have something else that you can do with it instead of it just being a dead turn or adding something else to your deck that you probably don't want to do.
And the aspect of, so there's attack cards and there's movement cards and then there's power up cards.
Right.
And so like in any deck builder, you could draw your whole hand and be like, well, darn it, I wanted to attack somebody and I don't have any attack cards. But if you've got enough energy and enough movement, you can strategically move into people and slam them into things and still end up damaging them that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you multiple options where you don't have to feel like there's a wasted turn, which is nice.
Yep, completely agree.
And it also guarantees that you have to think about the balance between building your deck and attacking other robots, because you can't, it's really going to be difficult to do both. Because either you're going to be spending that energy to build your deck and buy cards, or you're going to be spending it to move around and attack robots. And so it forces you to keep that balance in mind every turn.
And you really have to do both, because if you just try and attack somebody every turn, you're going to eventually get outpaced. And it doesn't matter that you've hit somebody every turn. You just haven't done enough damage for it to matter. And so at that point, while you're hitting with a glove, like a boxing glove, someone else has brought out a freaking gun and is about to shoot back at you at like four times the damage level.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll say another thing that I really like about this game is, man, it's cute.
That is true.
Oh, man. The robots are very distinct. You have the big brick that Jared talked about. You have the cutesy little puppy robot. Yeah, I mean, they are just so cute. And the figurines that come are very detailed. They're a good size piece.
Yeah, you can almost palm them.
That you're moving around the board. And the cards are cute with your your blasters and your pistons and your all of those kinds of things. The artwork is really, really well done.
I agree with that. I think that making them pre-painted was an incredibly good idea. I know that it costs more to do that, but it really helps the game pop, especially when you've only got flat tiles for all your obstacles and power-up cards and things like that, or not power-up cards, but your power-up tiles. So to have something that really pops off the board really helps with the theming and the artwork in this game.
Agreed.
Perfect. All right. What about things that you might not like about this game?
Well, I mean, man, I just really like this game, honestly. I remember the first time we played it, you said, oh man, this is totally going to replace... I don't remember what you said, though.
This game 100% replaces Dominion for me and Adrenaline. So I don't need either one of those games anymore.
That was the one you said.
I don't need either one of those games anymore because it replaces the deck building in Dominion and it replaces the shooter aspect of Adrenaline in a much cleaner way.
Okay. So that reminds me, that brings me to my point, because when you said that, I was thinking comparatively, right? I don't think you can plan ahead strategy in this game as well.
That is true.
As you can in like a chess game, a checkers game. There's not a lot of plan ahead strategy that you can do. It's a small board. You're limited in some ways by the deck that you draw.
Sure.
Even if you stack your deck. Don't stack your deck. That's cheating. But even if you buy all the cards that you think are going to stack your deck, you could still end up drawing a hand and having to change your strategy because you don't get any attack cards. You've got to figure out a way to... So you're really kind of thinking strategy on the go
in
this game.
Very tactical.
Yeah, very tactical. You're having to respond to what people are doing and think strategy that way. And so in my mind, that would put it in a different category than fighting strategy games where you're planning several moves ahead, thinking about your long-term goals and strategy. I don't think there's a way to do that in that game. So that was kind of my thought when you were talking about replacing Adrenaline. Is that there's less of an ability to think ahead, predict things.
Yeah, I'm hesitating because I kind of feel like that's the case in Adrenaline as well, especially in a higher player count.
Okay.
Where once you get up to that 4 or 5 player count, I mean, the board is just going to change so much between your turn and your next turn that it's like, how are you possibly going to know how to proceed?
Yeah, I don't think I've played it with that as many people. I'm feeling like I've only played it with maybe just me and you or one other person. Yeah.
Sure.
So.
And I get that. And there are certain games like that where you do get more of an actual strategy aspect of it instead of just react in the moment. I think, and I've talked about this with Ian before, I prefer the tactical nature of changing on the go. Let's just handle what's in front of us. I mean, I like to figure out my long-term strategy, but really I'm just, let's figure it out as we go kind of thing. And I kind of feel like deck builders lean into that anyways.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because you have an overall strategy, but like you said, it comes down to what you draw.
Right. So I guess, again, that wouldn't be something that I don't like about it, but I think when you're talking about a PvP fight it out type of game, some people might assume that there's a little bit more strategy, overall goals you're working towards, and it's just not that kind of game. Like you're saying, it's in the moment, on the go tactics that is going to win you this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like in several games I've gotten to the point maybe by mid game, and it might be because I like being that player that usually hangs back at the beginning, builds what I want to kind of get for the most part, and then go in there and swing. I feel like mid-game, I've lost interest in a lot of the cards, and I just want to hit things. And so the deck-building aspect kind of falls off a little bit, and from that perspective, I don't know, because I feel like it's trying to be a deck-builder first, and then you also have this added area control battle, not area control, but this battle it out bot battler on the side. And I know it's trying to combine both of them. So from a bot battler's perspective, I'm always in the game, always thinking like, okay, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Blah, 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 blah. But with the deck building aspect, I get like halfway through and I'm like, all right, sure. There are a couple of cool things over there. I don't want to waste the resources to get them, if that makes sense.
I get it. And I think that that probably has to do with the way that you play the game.
Right.
Because every time we've played this game, you play it in two different stages. You have the build my deck stage and then the go attack people stage. That is not how I have ever played the game.
That's true.
And my strategy with this game has been a mix from the beginning. So I'll buy some cards and attack. I think I'm buying cards and attacking either in like a every other turn or sometimes I'll even attack a little by a smaller card, you know, like some things like that. So I feel like I'm doing it the whole way through.
That's interesting. And that kind of leads to another pro, right? Of there's multiple ways to really play this game and win. So
Yeah, because we're both competitive in the game. It's not like one of our strategies is blowing the other one out of the water every single time.
Sure, absolutely. I don't know. I don't have a lot to nitpick about this game. It does what it wants to do very well. It's a catchphrase of this show, but it encapsulates being a bot battler. It tries to push the players into attacking each other, and it does that well. The deck building aspect is there, but it's not overwhelming. So I think it does have a lot going for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Yeah, thinking about like, if I was going to add something to this game, what would I add, right? And anything that I'm thinking that I would add would change the dynamic slightly. So I'm thinking, I like games where strengths and weaknesses are a little bit more different between players. So this one does have kind of a special ability that each robot has. But I wouldn't say that that's really forefront. Like, for the most part, everybody's moving around doing really similar actions and things throughout the game. Another thing that I'm thinking of in, like, your PvP, like, battle it out type of scenarios is sometimes you've got kind of secondary objectives that you get extra points for. So I was wondering, like, okay, would something like that fit well in this game? And I think it could, but it would take away a little bit from the BattleBot Arena feel that you've got if you're trying to accomplish some other objective than go and punch your neighbor's head off, you know? So I have to agree with you. I think some people might feel like it's a slightly more simplistic, but I think it's going for that simplistic, just punch it out type of thing with, again, the genius added component of the deck building does add complexity and strategy and balance without taking away from that. And I kind of feel like anything else that I would add might end up taking away from that a little bit.
So it's interesting that you mention that. What could I add to this game? Well, they just did a big time standalone expansion on GameFound that's going to drop next year. And I'll tell you, some of the things that they've added.
Yeah, what could be added?
Well, they're expanding to 11 players. You can have 11 players at one time on this game.
That's crazy.
It with this massive, looks like 9x9 battle arena where you duke it out in this crazy fight for everything amongst all these players.
Hang on. And the original grid is 7x7.
Yep.
And you're going from 4 to 11 players.
I think the original game can actually go up to 6. There's two bots that are like, you have to buy them separately.
Okay.
So I think it can go up to 6.
But even if it goes up to 6, you're doubling the player count.
Oh no, sorry, it is 4. My bad.
Okay. So if it's going to 4 and then you're going to 11, that's almost tripling the player count.
It's going to be very tight.
And you're going from a 7x7 grid to an 11x11 grid.
9x9.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's what it looks like. I mean, I'm just counting the picture squares here. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be different. But you get new bots with new abilities, so that's cool. And looks like there's some extra cards that's going to come in as well. So it's a lot more of the same, it looks like, but it adds more robots able to fight each other one time. And it looks like it's giving a cool power-up set for each robot, which I think is cool.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah.
Give it more uniqueness, which is what you were talking about a second ago.
Right. And I think that you could give each robot more uniqueness and it not take away from the BattleBot feel.
Yeah, I actually really agree with that critique. I mentioned that it is just a little bit earlier, and I real as cool it is as it is to be that bigger bot and make it harder for people to move you, it's just not a lot, and I wish it was a little bit more.
Yeah, because there's that one, and then there's the one that can spawn inside the inner square instead of having to spawn in the outside, and I don't even remember what some of the other ones are. I don't even remember. I've played the same one the last few games. I don't even remember what that one is because, again, the ability just...
It's just there.
It doesn't shine. It doesn't make you feel unique and distinct from the other robots as much. And I think that it could. I think that you could do that.
It's true.
Better. So, yeah, having individual power-up cards sounds like a really, really cool way to do that. I was thinking that if you've got that many more players, Because I think almost every time we've played the four person, we've played with the max.
So there's always at least three robots on the board.
Yeah.
Because even in a two-player game, you manage two bots.
Okay, okay.
So there's no like...
I was going to say, the game would not play well if you didn't have three or four robots on the board. If you just had a two-person game, yeah, it would just turn into a deck builder and be boring. Sorry.
And that, no, I agree. and that goes back to the game pushes you to fight each other.
Right. But I was thinking, if you've got 11 bots on the board, there's no way you can do Jared's strategy of hide in a corner and try to build my deck for the first few rounds.
Probably not.
I don't think you could have a corner anywhere to hide in. That would make it feel... Yeah. It would highlight the battling aspect of it more so.
Which is what it wants.
Yeah.
That's really what's going on. I think another con, just to mention this, it's very expensive. But again, it's what you pay for, right? Because you're getting this nice big mini that you're going to work with. It's pre-painted. So that brings up the cost.
Just said big mini.
Yeah, I did.
That's an oxymoron. Anyway, go on.
Indeed. But yeah, it's just something to be aware of. Is it's not a cheap game, but you're getting quality components. I was a little bummed. There is one of the minis that has the base is slightly warped, so it does wobble back and forth a little bit. But that's the only thing that I've seen content wise. The cards are good quality and all that good stuff. So we've talked about things we like, things we don't like, expansions, player interaction.
There is that in this game.
There is no lacking of player interaction.
Yes.
In fact, if you don't interact, as we've talked about, you will lose the game.
It's true. There is not a strategy where you are a pacifist in this game.
And that won't work.
And it works, because the only way to get victory points is by stealing the life of other robots.
That's right.
That is the only way you do that.
Yep.
So I think... the first time we played this game, Jared, you were like, I don't think you're going to like this game. Because typically, I do not like games that have direct player confrontation, where you're going head to head with somebody and trying to murder them. Those are not my preferred games. I tend to, and this is a fault of mine, I agree, I tend to take it a little bit personally. I tend to get kind of angry about it. I tend to be like, why are you attacking me and not them? You've attacked me the last three times, blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of thing.
This is a good point you're about to make.
So I'm really sorry about that to anybody that's played with me. But, you know, I
forgive you.
I get competitive sometimes. So anyway, I didn't feel any of that in this game. Yep. I didn't feel like the direct player confrontation was offensive or personal. And I really think it has to do with what I talked about earlier, where if you die, you don't get negative points. So there's really not a risk to dying as much. I mean, there's a little bit because you're giving other people points, but I don't know. It just took that away a little bit. And I think the tacticalness of you've got to see where you are in a moment and decide who's around you can attack right then also makes it feel less personal. Because nobody's structuring this whole big thing to take down the top dog or whatever. You know, there's not that long-term strategy as much. So
I mean, it really doesn't last long enough to do that.
It doesn't, no. And so it was kind of cool for me to be able to play a game where there's this PvP direct confrontation and be like, I love this. This is fun. I don't think I've ever said that about similar style games like that before. So anyway, that's my comment on the player interaction.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. The one thing I thought about when we got to this section is that it's very hard to take it personally, like, because you're just playing the game. And I know you're always just playing the game, but there's a difference sometimes in this is actually just the game saying, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Versus a thing you could do in the game of attacking somebody else. This is like, that's it.
It's true. Yeah. Versus games that have like, oh, you're building your kingdom, but you could sabotage from someone else. You know, then it feels personal if somebody sabotages you. But this is like, no, we're just all out robots and we're all swinging punches. And that's just where we're at.
That's right. Player count. I think you and I would agree that four players is absolutely the best for this game. The more bots in the match, the better.
Yeah. I mean, apparently 11. So bring it on.
Bring it. I really wanted to. Back the second round, but it, it was just, it was so much money. Because you're getting like, I think like six or seven. No, it's like five or six because there's some that are already out. New bots. And so it's just so expensive. And I was I just can't justify.
Because the bots are definitely the highest quality component in the game.
Yeah.
And so they're expensive.
And it's nothing against the game. Like I kept the page open the entire time that GameFound's pledge thing was open. And I looked at it,
I think
daily, just trying to talk myself into it.
Oh man.
And I just couldn't get there. Maybe I'll get it eventually, but we have enough fun with the game that we have right now. So we'll see. But no fault of the game. I want to be very clear about that. All right. Any other thoughts before we get into grading and final thoughts?
No, not really. Anything comes to mind right now.
Okay. Give me your grading and final thoughts then. What are you going to score this game?
Man, you always make me go first with
okay,
the hard
I'll do
ones.
It. No problem. This game is fantastic. This game is like the movie Real Steel in that not everyone's heard of it. Some people are going to say there's better ones out there. There's better deck builders. There's better battle arena games, but the combination of the two, the combination, just like how Hugh Jackman brought robots and family love and boxing together, this game comes together into a nice, beautiful package. I'm going to give this game a 9.
Wow.
I love this game. I was not kidding. Dominion, gone for me. Adrenaline, it's already been sold.
Wow.
I don't need it.
Wow.
Because this game does what both of those wanted to do, and it does it together. I absolutely would love to get the expansion someday, but for now, I think it's a 9 out of 10, and I enjoy playing it all the time.
Well, to follow up on that.
I was going
to
say, are you happy I went first now?
Yeah. There's a lot of passion there, so I'm glad to be able to go next.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I would say that for me personally, I would rate this game probably an 8 or a 7.5.
Whoa. I'm surprised.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you liked it more than that.
I do. I really, really like it. I really like it. I think it's the only like direct player conflict, fight it out game that I've gotten to the end of. And I was like, I wasn't angry at anybody that whole entire time.
Sure.
So I really love that. That being said, I just like games that have a little bit more strategy.
That's fair.
And that's just the type of person that I am. I like holding all the details in my head and watching them come together to form a perfect picture and see the path forward for how I'm going to do this glorious, you know, mission. And that's just who I am. Okay.
Sure. No, that's
so
fine.
So I think
no
the
judgment.
Game,
that's fine.
The game for what the game is, I would probably rate it similarly to you. But for me, I would rate it probably an 8, meaning I'm going to enjoy it every time I play it. But if it's my turn to pick a game for game night, I'm going to pick one that has a little bit more strategy and control over that part.
We're just going to jump to Root. I got it.
Yeah. Well, how'd you know?
It's like I'm married to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, what?
My diabolical plan has been revealed.
But yeah, no, I get that. If you don't like deck builders or you don't like direct conflict, it's not going to be a 9 for you. I get it. No big deal.
And I don't think it replaces all other deck builders also, because I think there's something to be said for a game that is just a deck builder. And this doesn't go completely all the way for that. And so I think for people that are really enjoying deck builders, you shouldn't just get rid of all of them and buy this game.
So I agree in the all category.
Okay.
But I will say that for those that are like very basic, that don't have extra spins on them, at least mm-hmm. to give a little extra flavor, I don't know that they bring enough to the table for me anymore. Unless it's a quick two player, like we talked about Star Wars deck builder.
Yeah.
That's like a quick two player that I'm going to get through quickly. And it's not something that's going to, so like, for example, we'll just use Dominion because that's the basic one. When we play like a four player game with your parents, it takes forever.
That's because we're always playing like a six player game with my parents.
That's true.
Because they want everybody to play because they love it so much.
The curse of a big family. And most board games are built for four people. I don't know what to tell
true.
You. So, okay, you called me on that. I need to walk that back. There are some that I like the Star Wars deck builder. There's another two-player deck builder that we have right now that we haven't tried yet, but I think you're going to like it, and I'm probably going to like it too. So maybe I'm wrong on all that.
No, what I'm saying is, like, it could be right for you, but I don't think that deck builder is your preferred type of game anyway.
I don't know. I'm really debating. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm wondering.
I'm like, just thinking, like, every time we play Dominion, you get excited, and then you're kind of like, eh, that wasn't as good as I hoped it would be afterwards. Yeah. So, and Dominion is, again, like, what everybody thinks of as your classic deck builder.
But I did really like the Star Wars one.
Well, that's because you like Star Wars.
I know, but I think I'm going to really like this other one, too.
And it's also Star Wars?
No, it's a Colosseum gladiator fighting one.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I know.
So.
Maybe I like deck builders, but there are several of them that I know I've played that I no longer need to play because this one does what that does and more.
So all I'm saying is I don't want listeners to hear us making a sweeping statement of, oh yeah, this is going to surpass every deck builder you have, because you can't treat this like it's a deck builder. You're not building your machine all the way to the end. And so if you, that's what you really, really like in deck builders, then I mean, try this out because it's really, really fun, but don't go getting rid of all your Dominion expansions before you know for sure. That's all I'm saying.
I will secede that point because
mm-hmm.
I think concede
is the word you're looking for.
I will.
Secede the point means you're making the point leave the union.
I will concede that point. And I'm a little excited. I get excited about this game. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
And I want to go to war for it, to battle.
Oh, all right, Jared. Save it for the game, Jared.
But you're right. There are people that if you love a pure deck builder, this will not fulfill you. I acknowledge that.
But obviously, as you can tell, testimony time, Jared is very fulfilled by this game.
Love
and
it.
I think most people will end up liking this. I think it'll be suitable for many different kinds of people. It has a fairly low entry point. We've explained it to people and they've had this like, oh, what's going to happen? This and that. And then we start playing and they're like, oh, this is simple. You know, it doesn't take long to explain. Each turn goes pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you're not spending a ton of time in between turns or in between rounds. What do they say game time is supposed to be?
60 minutes.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I was like, I feel like even with brand new players, we were playing a game in an hour.
I agree.
So
it does go quick, which I love.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be accessible to many kinds of people. I already mentioned it doesn't have this huge, big strategy where you've got to keep all this stuff in your head, you know? So it's more accessible to new players and people just sitting down. And I really think about anybody who would like this game.
I agree. It's very accessible. I've taught multiple different types of people in the board gaming hobby, and they've all picked it up really well.
Yep.
Sweet. We did good here.
Oh, all right. Thanks us.
Yeah, thanks us. And thank you, listeners. We appreciate your listenership, especially if you've made it this far. But even if you only lasted for 6 seconds, I appreciate the 6 seconds that you committed. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com or shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on BoardGameGeek. All of these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Faith and I discuss the Push Your Luck Pirate Crew Building game Captain Flip. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.